Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be. Speak up, listen up, act upon. This morning, you are hearing some very encouraging words about finding your voice, speaking up for issues, being able to disagree with someone without banging them across the head, but making a place for pleasant discourse, an intention to understand, to have give and take, and at the same time, be nice, be kind, be educated. Good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, cjsf.ca, streaming worldwide. We are continuing with celebrating International Women's Month. Each week we are doing a different way that people have broken the bias. We're going to be connecting you again with wonderful discussion that happened on Thursday at the Powered by Age podcast. And let's just go to that right now. Recording. Good afternoon and welcome to Powered by Age, Canada's longest running powered up and led by seniors podcast. Today is another day of Women's History Month where we have special presentations dealing with the bias of having someone told you that your voice wasn't important or hearing someone misrepresent your culture and the way to speak up without banging them across the head. We have two people who are very skilled in dealing with those topics. Muriel Shabazz is a double diamond Toastmaster who speaks and nudges people internationally to speak up and also to clarify things and has been very involved both in educating speakers but also nudging. Some people say, Charlotte, you push me. Why are you always pushing me? It's because I had as a mentor, Muriel Shabazz, who pushed me and said, Sister C, your voice is too soft. So I don't think it's soft anymore, but you will be hearing more from Muriel and the work that she's doing. Our other presenter, Wilder Keir. Wilder has a long-term work in education. She is a person who does modeling for teachers on communicating and also works with and raises questions when they send to her presentation just some kids rather than everybody. Somebody has made a decision about who is worthy of getting knowledge about college education. So we're going to have wonderful, inspiring presentations by them. But first, we'll just take a minute for people who come in and are regularly part of sharing their stories, their poems, their opinions, as well as new people that we have. And I will just start with Leslie.
I'm Leslie Hebert, normally from New Westminster, British Columbia, Canada, but today coming to you from Green Valley, Arizona, where we've escaped to the sunshine.
Wow.
Prafula?
Hi. My name is Prafula Vyas, and I live in Milton, Ontario, and I'm delighted to let everyone know that my poem, The Value of a Word, was published by spillwords.com.
Congratulations.
So that was kind of exciting. And
yes.
And thank you. And we're talking about voice, and I feel that that has a definite voice. And it's a voice regarding our animals, you know, especially birds. So that was kind of exciting. So I thought I'd like to share it with everyone. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Delsa?
Yes, my name is Delsa. I work in hospitals and I became a yoga teacher, meditation teacher. So lately I've been into books, thanks to Neil and other people who are into books. And lately I have found this book, Two Women, but it's not, they're not trailblazer. It's about a 17-year-old terminal teenager lady and a 83-year-old woman who total of 100 years between them. Beautiful book. Beautiful book.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Dr. Ramona?
So hello, everyone. Very happy to see all of you. And I want to say a special welcome to Rohana. Rohana is here thanks to my sister Del, who invited her. And I'm very thankful that Rohana, that you could make it. So I'm a retired professor, Mumbai University, and I've written a few academic texts for undergraduates. And I'd like to share with you today a quote by Michelle Obama. And she says, so the work continues. And for all the young women in this room, all the young men, we can never be complacent, because we have seen in recent times how quickly things can be taken away if we aren't vigilant, if we don't know our history, if we don't continue the work. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for that quote. I'm trying to go in the order people came in, but you know, the screen keeps changing as people talk. The people on my display keep moving around. Neil.
Hi. Greetings from beautiful Burnaby, British Columbia. I have a book published. It's on Amazon. I'd be most pleased if you would be interested in getting a copy of it. And I have a poem today, which I would love to share at some point in time. So about my mother, born in 1903. You want to talk about women surviving in this century or the last century?
Yes, we will definitely be hearing that. Inna?
Yes, I'm Inna de Guzman. I live in Surrey, BC. And I'm sorry I haven't accomplished anything exciting or great lately or even in the past. But I'm very happy to be with accomplished women and Neil.
Well, thank you for your contributions and your smiling face each week. Lisa, we're talking about places that we're going to go. Lisa is in the travel business. Hi, Lisa. Introduce yourself.
Hi there. I'm Lisa Futrell. I'm sorry I came in late. I'm trying to send the passcode to my mom so that she can get in on this, because I was going to talk about her. And she said, well, how can I hear you talk about me? And I said, well, I'll send you the code, 411333. So I'm trying to text that to her right now. There. Now, hopefully she can get on. But hi, everybody. I'm Lisa Futrell. I'm out here in Menifee, California. And I don't know what am I supposed to say? I have a travel agency.
Lisa has written,
out of retirement. I had retired for 2 years and I got a little bored, I guess. And I just got a job with Easter Seals helping to help and assist people with disabilities find work, because they're discriminated against. Oh, that's her. They're discriminated against so bad. Mom?
Okay, so that is one of the ways that we are breaking biases.
Yeah.
Suzanne?
Well, let me try again. Hi, I found it. I'm so glad. I don't know where it was, but I found it and I sent it to Aileen. I'm Suzanne. I remember Neil from last time. Hi, Neil. Can't remember who else was here, but it's good to be here. This is Women's International Month. And so
yes.
Hello, everybody. I'm in Los Angeles also.
And Suzanne's claim to fame, we were talking the other week about speaking up. Suzanne writes letters that get things done for the whole neighborhood or the whole city. She's been on many boards. She's taught people how to get on boards. And you're among kindred spirits of breaking biases that people say, oh, there's nothing I can do.
No, but there is. And the one thing, I was writing the letter for the lady across the street from me, and she has a JCPenney's account, which Synchrony Bank is the card you get for JCPenney's. And she had all her address was stolen 3 times. So they were able to get her bill. And on your bill, all of your identity, the whole your account number is printed there. And I thought, well, that's usual. But I have a J. Crew bill. And they only print the last four numbers on it. So you have to look at your card to see what they are when they ask you for it. And I thought, oh, then nobody can steal your number. And I thought, you need to complain to every company that still puts all of the boards, the numbers on your bill.
You should come to our neighborhood to sign. We need somebody like you in our
I didn't know that, but now that I know, oh yeah, no, I do not play. I tell anybody, don't play. I will compliment you if you do a good job. You know, I do that too. But if you don't, I will, you know, this is what you need to do. And I hadn't realized that. So if one company can do it, all of them can do that, because that would help us.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Naja?
Yes. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Naja.
I'm Naja Reese Nazi. And I was just on my... getting ready to, because it's to tell you a little bit about myself, but I have so much stuff to tell you about it, and it just went off while I was trying to get it. But let me just see if I can do it off the top of my head, because something just, all right. Naji, I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and California, Carson, California. I am a licensed spiritual practitioner. Gosh, I lost my list. Licensed, and I am a Toastmasters, and also I teach chess. I'm an investor in stocks and real estate. I am there's so much more, but I can't remember it all right now because I had my list here and everything just popped up as soon as you called on me. Hi, Suzanne. hey, there's people on here I know. So just be here. I've been trying to get on this call for the longest time, this Zoom meeting, and now I'm here. And I'm so grateful to be here. And thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I see Wilda up there. Hi, Wilda.
Hi, sweetness. I did email it to you, but you probably didn't recognize it.
Okay.
She asked me to
continue on briefly with introducing people so that we'll get to our main talks, and we'll also have more comments by each of you. Stephen?
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Stephen Schomburg, friend of Wilda. I think so many were brought in directly or indirectly with her. I do life coaching and sexual healing. I work with women over 50 struggling with sexuality and menopause. And I go back and forth between Colorado and California.
Two things that start with C.
what happened?
Rohana?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm just sneaking in here.
Okay, love you.
I'm just supposed to be here like a little mouse. I'm not supposed to be seen or heard. So here I am. I don't know if I'm on video or not, but that doesn't matter. And I'm going to be on the program on the show next week. So I just wanted to get a sense of what you folks are all about. And I'm quite impressed already.
Okay. And just a little preview. Next week, the bias we're talking about is health.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'm sorry. I spoke over you.
Yeah, just briefly. I've written a book about the importance of the sense of smell and how smell has been denigrated and put to the bottom of the hierarchy of the senses. And so I'm going to talk about my struggle a little bit in being heard. And now COVID has shown us what happens when we lose our sense of smell, and it's very distressing. So that's my little bit. Thank you, Charlotte.
Okay, thank you. We're going to be hearing about that along with next week, the chairman of the 411 Senior Center is going to be talking about some of the disparities in healthcare and some of the issues that are things that we can support in terms of examinations and inclusion of holistic health. Rohana, along with many others of you, to provide holistic health and find it's not covered by insurance, it's not covered by plans. So that's something that there is a movement to get changed, both in the United States and in Canada. So I think that is all. Oh, and Eileen got on. She was working to get on by phone. Welcome, Aileen.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks to Brenda Suzanne. She sent me the link.
Okay.
So thank you.
So that is one of the things that's happened since we've Powered by Age began with a grant from the city of Vancouver on a kind of action that could help people change the portrait of seniors, change and make the city a more an age-friendly city. We have numerous examples. If you go to the Powered by Age website and see the episode descriptions of all the topics we've dealt with and all the different ways that we've worked to empower people to use their voices. So without me talking further about people empowering people to use their voices, I'm going to bring up the person who empowered me, pressed me to speak, which is Muriel Shabazz. And Muriel, would you introduce yourself, and we'll buckle up our seatbelts.
Good day to each and every one of you. Thank you, Sister C, so much for the invitation. We've been trying to connect for such a long time, and I'm just delighted to be here. The celebration of women is something that we all should take pride and joy in, because if it wasn't for women, the world would not be the great place that I believe that it actually is. Even though we're moving through a so-called pandemic, we're moving through social justice issues, we're moving through a lot of things, but I liken it to the castor oil that my mother used to give us as children, that if you're going to have a cleansing, sometimes you need a stimulant to activate that cleansing. And to me, this is a great time for us to realize that it's not a downtime. It's a time of transformation and transition. And for many of us, we're able to take this time, particularly last year and the year before during lockdown, we couldn't get out as much. We're getting out much more now, particularly I'm in sunny California, Los Angeles. So we're getting out much more. We're not having to wear the mask if we've been vaccinated, or we don't have to wear the mask if we're outdoors. And so we're getting out. But I believe in 2019, 2020, when the lockdown was very intense, we were able to sit and go within. And that's what many of people did. They had a chance to just stop. I have a girlfriend, Ethel Robinson. She says sometimes in order to make a change, you have to stop. And so that's what the pandemic did for many of us. It made us stop and take introspection and say, what am I here for? What is my purpose in life? What do I do next? Who's guiding me? Who's influencing me? How can I be a greater influence on the world? How can I make a greater impact? And I know I'm a member of Toastmasters. I'm a distinguished Toastmaster now. And I've traveled to 125 different Toastmaster clubs outside of the United States, Brazil, Argentina, South America, Lagos, Nigeria, Ghana, Accra, Ghana, and of course the contiguous United States. And I've seen that people are ready for something different. They're aching and hungry for something new. And I believe that each and every one of us on the Zoom call has something powerful, a powerful message that we have either tapped into or we're seeking to tap into. And so I invite each and every one of you to just look at what you can present. What can you offer? And I was thinking about what Sister C was saying. This is not an end. Whatever age we are, we have something to give. We have something to share. We have something of value, because we were created by an infinite source, by whatever name we want to call it. We were created to be able to explode and to offer and to have infinite possibilities of impact, not only on our family, community, our neighborhoods, on the world itself, our neighborhoods. And so I'm so happy to be here and to see and be part of this podcast, Sister C. I think this is very important to talk about women breaking the bias. One of my spiritual heroines is Harriet Tubman. Mm-hmm. And someone opened with a quote. And Harriet Tubman said that every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember that you have within you the strength, the patience, the passion, the will to reach for the stars and to be able to change the world. And too often, many of us get told that if you're over 30 or over 25 or over 40, your time is up. Mm-hmm. No, our time, some people, Colonel Sanders, he didn't get started till 50. Many people get started because we have to get things lined up. And I love the passage from the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar, but the one that I love is this says, the vision has an appointed time. Wait for it, for surely it will come and not delay. And each and every one of us, we know of things that have happened in our lives that had an appointed time. We became impatient, but like Harriet said, you have the patience within you, the passion within you. So it may take a year, it may take a week, it may take 5 years. Did you know that the movie Forrest Gump was on the shelf for 10 years? Many popular and successful movies that make hundreds of millions of dollars sat on the shelf for years and years. And so I want to leave you with that thought, that you have within you, as Harriet said, the strength, the patience, the passion, the know-how. And I want to add to that, what we have to me that's most important is that divine indwelling spirit that is with us 24/7, that's always lifting us up, guiding us, and showing us the best way. And all we have to do is stay attuned and receptive to that voice, because it's always with us. It never goes away. And we just have to know that we are divinely guided and that we are here at this particular time, at this place in history, for a special reason. Sister C?
Thank you for being here at this particular time, being an instrument of encouragement as well as a great researcher. One of Muriel's favorite places is the library. And people talk about, you know, the trouble of getting books. And she says, I got this book, I have it at the library. So she's one of the best promoters of the library and the library.
Yes, I am.
I know. Do any of you have questions about her journey and one of the biases that we have heard is when people have said, because of our age, we should be quiet or sit down somewhere, or made us feel like in meetings, our point of view was not accepted. But as Suzanne has brought up, she's one of those people that says, hey, wait a minute. She won't not only bring up her voice, but send them a letter. Yeah. But does anyone have a question for Muriel about those comments?
Cooking. Stated a million times. Kitchen.
Well, Leslie, what would you say has been a way that you've had to show that you have the patience, as Harriet has said, or you have the passion, or you have the strength? Where have you shown that light to others?
Well, I actually went back to university when I was 50 years old. When I was in high school, I was picked as a brighter student, and they were pushing me to work towards university. But my parents said that, no, that wasn't going to happen. I had to go out and get a job, right? Mm. Working class family in the UK. And I always had that in my mind that somebody had told me I should get a degree somewhere down the line. Mm-hmm. But it always had to be something that was connected with making money. It couldn't just be academics for the sake of it, right? So when I was 50, I decided to go back and finish out my degree. And I got a degree in teaching English as a second language. And I felt that I really was letting my light shine. I felt that what I was destined for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's something that I would do even if I wasn't paid. I'd still love to do it, you know. And now I'm getting into writing as well at quite an advanced stage and hoping to publish a book soon.
Right. And, you know, my mother went back to high school to get her diploma, her high school diploma, at 64 years old. And my ex-husband, he went back to get his diploma, and he was the oldest one in the classroom. But we can't let outside circumstances, conditions, situations dictate, because as one of the mystics, the 20th century mystics, Neville Goddard, said that it is your concept of yourself that will dictate your success, and that we cannot allow others to dictate who we are, whose we are, where we're going, how we're going to do it, why we're going to do it. So I think that that's wonderful, Leslie, that you've been able to move beyond the concepts that others may have had of you. And I think that's so important. That's how we transform the world, because we can see that that's so necessary.
Yeah.
It was that inner light that pushed me. You know, I felt that was my destiny.
Yes. Fafula, I see you shaking your head. Did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I was just listening to you and I realized how true you are to so many things. And sometimes I think that it's our role models are our mothers, you know, and they pass it on to us. And if they pass on to us the message that, oh, you can do this and you can't do that because you're a woman, and like, because I was brought up like that, and so you have to do it that way, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that thing goes on. So I'm glad that we break it up. And I just thought that as mothers, we should teach our daughters that, no, you can do whatever you like. Like, this field is also for you. Like, you want to be an engineer, it's not just for men, it's for women as well. And you want to fly a plane, then go and fly a plane. Like, so mothers play a really, really important role in that, you know. And in my personal case, like, I was so busy being a housewife and a mother that I never had time to do anything for myself. And so, like Leslie, at a later age, you know, I decided that I'm going to like do things that I want to. So I had to look deep inside me and say, what do I want? Like, what? It was very hard. It was very hard to find out what is it that I want, because it's always about everybody else.
You know? Yes.
Whatever they want, never about me. So finally, I said, I have a love for writing, you know? And so now at 73 years age, I've started writing and I've almost finished one book.
Wow.
And I'm on a second book. So I'm so happy.
I can't believe I have to
do it.
And look at the joy that you're bringing to yourself. You're just so full of joy and delight and happiness because you're doing it for you. And I think that Shel Richardson, she's a life coach. She talks about the art of extreme self-care and that we have to move away from trying to please people and begin to shine the light on, like Fafula said, what do I want to do? We have to honor ourselves. We have to love ourselves. We have to put ourselves first. And most importantly, I think Sister C said it, we have to use our voice and not be afraid to use our voice. And that this indwelling spirit will always guide us what to say, how to say it, when to say it, to whom to say it to. And I think that as we tap into that and connect with that, that it becomes an amazing journey of life for each and every one of us. How about you, Sister Naja? I see you, Naja.
I was just getting ready to speak to you, beloved. I'm telling you, your talk, you know, I'm in Toastmasters too, been in it for years, but I haven't been moving because I have so much on my plate. I'm multitasking all the time.
Okay.
But your talk was just so beautiful with so much passion, beloved. Oh my goodness. I'm like a mama saying, I'm so proud of you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I grew up with my father, and my father, there were no limits because I watched him. He didn't have this. And I grew up, I know many of you heard me say this, you maybe, Mira, when we were on the one of the groups together. Yes. My dad read the book Think and Grow Rich. And he used to talk to me about the Ford and all the different people, Carnegie and all those people. He used to tell me those stories. And I just knew that I would be successful. But I didn't know that I would want to do so many things. And I'm in my 70s, of course, and I'm still playing drums, still doing African dance, still investing, still teaching, into chess, love chess. Still have a cable TV show that I started doing in 1984, highlighting people who did not get recognition, and they were amazing people in the community in Southern California. So I wanted to see them shine. I wanted the light shined on them. Mm-hmm. So I began doing that one in 1984. And I'm just like, I'm just hearing you talking, you know, being a Toastmasters, I'm listening to everything.
Yes, indeed.
The R counters and none of those. I'm just.
Well, it's so great to see you. I tell you, Lisa, did you want to make a comment on what Sister Nadja is saying?
I'm just listening and enjoying everything that's being said and really feeling inspired and happy to see all these beautiful women on here. I'm still in the middle of trying to help my mom get on here.
Oh, okay.
And she's having a little bit of struggle, so I'm a little distracted, but I am listening and it's really inspiring me because I was thinking it was a little strange for me. Because I just recently went back to school to get my real estate license.
Mm.
And when I shared it with some people, they were like, oh, wow. And they look at me kind of odd.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you are involved in so many things. But from everything that I'm hearing from you ladies, it's normal. It's making me feel like it's normal. You know, we're all, we're mothers in some way. If you know, I don't know anything about that much about all you ladies, if you had children or not, but even the ones that have not birthed children, we women, we always end up mothering other children, other people's children, and yes, our nephews and our nieces. So, you know, having that motherly spirit, we've been kind of taught in our culture to always put the needs of other people first.
Yes.
And now at these later years, it's just really refreshing to me and encouraging to see other women saying things that I feel inside sometimes about as far as, you know, putting my needs first now and finding my voice and not even feeling, because I've been listening to Ayana a lot and I'm pulling a lot of strength from her as far mm-hmm. as feeling better about putting yourself first, finding your voice, and not even having any shame if at, you know, I feel like I'm at a certain age, if I hadn't reached this yet, or if I hadn't found my voice, or what took me so long, because I would have been thinking like that. But I've even, you know, graduated from that test. And yeah, so it's just it's a beautiful time for me. I'm 63. I'll be 64 this year.
Wow.
And I retired when I was 61, right before COVID hit, because I was going to do my travel agency full time. And then that kind of went downhill. But even with that, I just learned to pivot and start doing other things. And
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Please pass that spirit of go-get-ness, or just being able to do that. The narrative that's been given to us in this society is in increments, but we don't have to go by that. We can create whatever we desire for ourselves. Too many people have done it, and it's just knowing that you have within you everything that it takes to be successful and to feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
It takes us
perfect transition. I wanted to talk about my mother because I'm so proud of her.
Uh-huh.
And look like she is getting on now because I see Herman. I think that's her. She's making her way on now, but I'm so proud of her. She is the person that, you know, if when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I know I'm grown up, but she is my model. She really is my model, and wonderful. I'm just so proud of her. And when I saw the text message from Charlotte today saying if there was anybody that you wanted to talk about that, you know, was a trailblazer for you, I got to talk about my mom.
All right. And now she's on here with us.
Maybe she can just talk about
her. She'll say something.
Herself.
You do it.
Her own voice.
You can do it.
Oh, you want her to do it?
Lisa can do it.
Oh, okay.
Is there any one particular thing, Lisa, that you want us to know about your mom? And give us her full name, please.
Okay, her name is Rose Edgar, Dr. Rose Edgar.
Dr.
Rose Edgar.
Edgar, okay. So what is the one thing that you would like us to know about Dr. Rose?
She is in her 80s and she's still going strong.
Wow. We all have to give her an applause.
So she's in her 80s. She was born in what did I do with it? Oh, I think she was born in 30. You're born in 35, right, Mom?
Right.
Yeah. She was born in 35. She was the first. First of all, she's very intelligent. She was from Oklahoma, and she graduated from high school when she was 16. And then from there, she attended Langston University, and then she graduated from the University of Oklahoma. But she was the first Black woman to do so many things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm so proud about her. Like she was the first Black woman to actually attend the University of Oklahoma right after they, you know, because when she went to Langston University, it's because they didn't allow Blacks in those other schools. You could only go to a Black college, right? So then she went to University of Oklahoma, and she was the first, she got a job as the first Black student secretary there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was huge for back then.
Yeah. Okay.
Then she was the first Black secretary of an oil company in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in the 40s, Mom?
Oh, well, no. 59.
That was in 59.
Okay.
Then you sure you don't want to tell it, Mom?
That's quite
an accomplishment. Okay. Lisa and Dr. Rose, it sounds like you've had many, many firsts. And so maybe
she was the first Black woman to get her master's degree in theology from Fuller Seminary.
So Fuller Seminary,
California.
Okay, in California. Wonderful. And then she was also the first Black person to get a PhD in psychology, in clinical psychology at Fuller.
Okay. Are you looking to put that? And Sister C may want to jump in here, or Wilder, how do we get her to put all of this legacy that she's established, Sister C? I mean, it sounds like a book or a manual or a how to do.
Yes, we are in the process of we're making audiobooks. If you go to our website, poweredbyage.com, you will see where many of the people whose faces here, Neil, Leslie, Dr. Ramona, myself, have recorded what's called spins. And the spins are stories where someone told a story, poems, interviews, like an interview. We could interview your mom, and nice novelties. Novelties are other things. But I've been meeting, I attended an international conference, about three conferences about publishing and on doing audiobooks. There's a big market for audiobooks. So we have some days that we've made available to people who participate in the podcast to have some training or help from our CJSF radio station on how to record, how to use your voice, do things with voice to record an audiobook. So that's one of the things we can talk with you about, making an audiobook or even serials. A big thing now is people say, oh, it takes so long to write a book. You can do chapter one. So we are going to be doing that. The podcast has had one format for 100 episodes. As we go into June and July, we're going to be having some of the people that you see here. Different times people give the presentation. So we can invite her to come and do a presentation. Yeah. But I want to make a transition over to Wilda around education. Wilda is one of those people that fought for the child that the person didn't send into the educational talk she was giving, the college talk, because they had decided that child wasn't worthy. But Wilda is the founder of Health and Wealth, health and wellness influencers, and has worked on both national and international conferences on relationships and education. So without further ado, Wilda Keir, who, and I met Wilda, interesting story. I met her through
Wow. Thank you so much. I just want to thank you. Thank you so much. Well, you know, I'm in this room of all these greatness. I just see greatness everywhere in every person, every story. You know, even in this great Women's Month, they're acknowledging us here this one month. And we know that there's been so much greatness that came before us. We stand on the shoulders of all those people and all those women and the mothers, the grandmothers, and great grandmothers. And, you know, when I worked for the school district, it came out of a dream. I was working in an office and I said, you know what, this office, and I just looked around and watched everybody. They were not happy. They were making money, still sad. Mm-hmm. They weren't passionate about what they were doing. There was no love. It felt like there was a lot of hate. And I'm going, what am I doing here? And all I wanted to do was to be in an environment that supported children and supported their mind and them doing things. Because I always, and I still feel like I'm the 6 to 7 year old little girl. Mm. And so when I was telling someone about that at that particular place of business, they're like, well, how are you going to do that? And I said, watch me. And like within a year or so, I was working for a school district. And I used to sit there and I was so excited. I worked for this department that helped parents and or companies bring in volunteers so that they could help at the schools. And I didn't know anything about that. But what I did love about it, it was I was going to learn. And then I made my way into working with the parents and the students and the teachers at the school sites. And then from there, I was like creating my own job. I was creating everything. I wanted to learn about this. I said, how am I going to do that? I would learn. So one of the major things that happened for me was I had the opportunity to work with Reading by Nine. And I thought to myself, Reading by Nine, if you're not reading by the time you go to kindergarten, Reading by Nine, I think is like second grade. Like that's an issue to me, but I didn't understand the reasoning. LA Times was supporting that particular initiative. So I wanted to learn about it. And so what I found from working there and working in education, there's the group. There's the 50 kids or 100 kids or 1,000 that they have on the radar. And those kids are sort of given all the opportunities. And it doesn't matter if it's the low-income school or the high-income school. They still choose or choose children they believe are on a certain track. My kids went to La Crescenta High School. They were treated the same way, brown faces in a white school. I was a brown face in an all-white school, so white that they thought everything was based on skin color. There was 4 of us girls. We were all different colors, and our parents were all different colors. And I remember on parent night, my mother was confused for another child's mother because my mother was really light. And so, you know, all of this plays into the part of where you fall in the education trap. And I don't want to bash schools because we need them. We always need to learn. We always need to be learning. What I know now is that we are in charge of our own learning, and we need to tell our children that. And I told my kids, you know, school looks different in 2019. And so my 19-year-old chose to do online school, but he loved it at one point and then he hated it. And the kids that were bullied and were working at home thrived. The kids who needed social and were working at school at home did not thrive. And the bottom line, because my son, who's 19 now, told me, "Mom, don't throw college at me. That was your generation." Because he says the generation now is this. We are talking about the Cash App. We are talking about blockchains. We are talking about the currency of today. I don't believe any of that is even being taught in schools right now. He said schools are so behind. However, when I was on a webinar, and I'm on a lot of them, I do a lot of things. One of my names right now is considered the tech and tools queen. And I love it because I learn and I educate women of all ages on how to use the different tech and tools to build their businesses. But what the strange thing is for others is that how can a woman in my, first of all, a Black woman, and then being a senior, a grandmother of teenagers, how can I understand the tech industry and how can I teach people to do these things that I do? And I mean, even today, someone was asking me something and she goes, "Well, I don't know if it's too long. I don't know if it's this. I don't know if it's the right words. Can you help me?" And I was thinking in hours of how much time it would take for me to do this for her. And I said to her, "Well, did you put it in Grammarly? Did you do a word count? Do you know how many minutes it is to read it?" And these were just like basic things that came to the top of head for me, because this is how I work. I think about it, everything in linear, even though I'm not a linear person. I am so circles. You just wiggle circles and that's me. I can see the processes. And I've learned that only because 2019 to now allowed me to be in all these rooms with executives, with tech men who speak a different language and who are telling the world their secrets, as they may. And so when I think about where we are today, you could sit home and you could be anywhere and everywhere. You could sit and be in a room full of top tech people on a Zoom. There's no excuses. However, the excuse will be that we had all this time and we didn't learn and we didn't take advantage.
Take advantage. Ooh.
And we are still sitting in the same spots. And I talked to my friends about it because somebody was saying, "Oh, you know, there were so many, you know, so many businesses got hurt and so many this got hurt and so many this and that." And she was going all negative. And I said, "But did you know that there was 52 million millionaires made last year here in the United States?" She was like, "Where'd you get that number?" I showed her. So we have to like figure out when we're going to put some of these messages and songs and crises aside and figure out the road that we need to take to get us to the next step. And then I will leave with this. Yesterday I was on a call and I looked at this gentleman and I go, "Oh my God, he looks so familiar." And I couldn't figure out on the Zoom that had over 1,000 different women of all different ages from all over the world. And that's the group was called Year of Miracles. And she brought this man in who wasn't supposed to be there. He came in on a because somebody else called. So yesterday I was on 3 Zooms where every single speaker called out sick. And then they brought in these 3 other men on these 3 separate Zooms that were life changing. Man was talking about alleviating the ancestral stuff. And he was talking about that and doing some meditations and some kind of things that you could do that. This other gentleman was it even supposed to be where he was supposed to be at? And he was talking, and it was interesting because I'm usually in mostly, you know, a lot of my things are 80% women, and there's very rare where I'm on an all man, all male thing. But this was an all woman thing, and the woman canceled, and this gentleman came in, and he talked about the messages that he got from God or from his angels. And he said, and you know what? By no way I was a religious person. He says, I was probably one of the worst people out there. He goes, I didn't murder anyone. I was just murdering myself and the people around me and the people I worked with. Mm-hmm. But he said, I knew I was on the last leg when the blackness, when the TV comes on in your mind and you wake up 18 hours later. And I don't think us women in this group or anybody that has to get a message like that, a wake up call. But as intuitive women, I know that the wind, the radio, the song, the magazine cover, your friend, somebody is telling you something that you've heard before that you should be doing, that you should be finishing. And so that's my path right now. I am working with womenpreneurs. I am working with myself. I am learning. I told somebody the other day, she goes, well, where do you see yourself in 3 years? I said, well, you know, I'm working with a lot of people on writing books. So I'll have, you know, several books out. I said, and I'm also developing a product that's a school. She goes, you're going to create a school. I said, yeah, it's a women's business school. And I said, and it's going to, you know, have the women business owners are all going to go through it. And then they're going to pick some high school student and they're going to put them through it at the same time so that they go through together. And I said, and lastly, I was building software. And she's like, you're building software? Like everybody, when I talk about it, I could see their eyes rolling up in the back of their head. And I just saw this software and I could figure it out. I've seen it in several Zooms that I've been in. I've seen it with people sharing it with me. And then I saw the two girls using it last year that Spirit put in my attention. And I blew them off because I don't know why I blew them off. I blew them off because it wasn't the right time. But when I did get their email 300 days later, they had already made $2 million. And then right after that email reading, I've seen that software in my mind everywhere. Someone making it, someone's going to do it, someone's going to, and people are like, how do you know that? So we know what we all know. We just have to be too loud to ignore it. And we have to really dig deep and just, you know, dig in. And it takes guts. It takes you speaking out. Because I'm sure when I was telling people that, they were like, what do you mean, she know about software? I will tell you three things, and then I'll let you go again. There was three things that have happened in this world in my lifetime that I've seen that I've discovered 20 years before. And I sat in rooms with particulars that did not look like me, and I told them these things. And they were like, who are you? How do you know this? That's never going to happen. And quite frankly, 2019, I saw that in 1999, when I sat in that room in Pasadena, California, talking to these software and engineers about how the world was going to change and everybody was going to be online studying, particularly adults and kids, and it was going to be this huge platform, and I had it written out. I had it done out. I'm going to cry right now.
Right.
I think that's a connection to the quote that Muriel made from the Bible about seeing the vision, writing the vision, and moving on the vision. The connection to those points of women as advocates, because in the different positions that people have been in, whether it's Leslie and working with people for English as a second language, we have a lot of people who've been advocates for refugees, advocates for families, that we have to speak up, that there are things that we notice, whether, you know, things men notice, things that women notice, but having the gumption to speak up and the way that biases get broken, like biases in education where people have assumed, they've talked about it in Canada, we've talked about it in the US and other places, that there's sometimes people assume that someone, because of their color, their language, their region of the world they came from that they can't make it. But those of us who have read, those of us who have the gumption to be advocates, that's where we can make a difference. I'm saying writers, that there are many people in this group that are writers, and the changes, like the 1619 Project, when people write, it does change awareness. It does help them be a better place. It helps bring about positive change. There is something that happened. You know, many people in this group have been taking part in a thing called the Oath of Manifestation Call. Muriel started that call. It's in its 10th year. And that when you speak things, when you say yes to something, there is something within the universe that agrees. And other people then start to tell you, oh, I saw this, I saw that. There's something that's happening. And it starts to grow. So I encourage you to take pen and paper, take pictures of things that you see, and just look at how it fits into that thing that you still are intending to do as you're on your way toward 100. Like we're on our way toward 100th episode, all of us that still leave it, living, breathing, and talking on our way toward our journey toward 100. So thank you very much for being here today. I look forward to seeing you again. Next week, we'll be talking more about health. We're going to hear about sense, not only just the practical sense, whether you can smell a flower, but she's going to talk about the sensuality of scents. So come back for a treat. And then as you have things that you would like to discuss, we're going to be doing Poetry Month, inviting poets, even more poets, to share their poetry June and July. I mean, not June and July. We have to see that we'll have funding by June. But May and June, we will be looking for other ideas. If you have an idea for something you'd like to present, somebody that you want to tell us about, like Delsa told us about the poet Peter who came on. So send those, you have my email, send those ideas or requests to me and we can make it happen.
Okay. God bless the Ukraine.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for everything. Have a good day.
This is Charlotte Frail, your own Sister C. Thank you for spending time with me this morning on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon with our guest speakers, Muriel Shabazz and Will Dakir. I'm sure you've heard of ways to speak up and make your dreams come true. Speak things into existence that may have been denied by somebody else's bias or misconception that wasn't a thing for you. We have a lively discussion and you're welcome to join us next week at 10. And besides that, when people ask me what time it is, I always say it's love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, times to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time.